A 2004 poll estimated that 13% of American households kept goldfish. Nearly 500 million are sold each year, some, incidentally, as feeder fish for other pets. How goldfish became America's go-to pet is a matter of some debate. And on the line to perhaps clear the waters for us is Katrina Gulliver, historian and freelance writer, who she wrote an article called The Great Goldfish Invasion for The Atlantic magazine. Katrina, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Hi, Virginia. Thank you for having me.
So there are several versions of the goldfish arriving in America origin story. Why so much confusion?
Well, I think it's that goldfish was such a small and trivial thing, no one ever thought to write it down or remember them. They're one of the few animals that we keep purely for decoration. So I think people probably didn't think it was worth mentioning them.
One story that does endure, however, that you write about is Captain Henry Bully Robinson. Tell us about him.
Well, he was a merchant in Newburgh, New York, in the Hudson Valley, and he happened to visit Europe in around 1830, and he brought back some goldfish. And he put them in a pond on his farm, and they bred there, and he gave them away as gifts to friends. And in the local area, he got a reputation for being the first person to bring them into the U.S., but there's plenty of evidence that there were goldfish in America before that.
The people became very fascinated with this little orange fish. What do you think was the root of that?
Well, I think it partly the fact that they are very easy to breed made them a very affordable pet, which has always been one of the main selling points, I think, for goldfish, that they're so cheap to buy. And that is because they breed very easily in captivity, and they're very easy to keep. You don't have to spend much on food. Anyone can keep one in a glass bowl. It's not very humane, but anyone can.
Regardless of how they did get here, how did these little guys make their way from the garden ponds of the, you know, Bully Robinsons, et cetera, to the country's ultimate affordable pet?
Well, as I mentioned in my article, there was a scheme run by the Fish Commission in Washington, D.C. to give them away. They actually gave fish with a bowl to anyone who made a request through a congressman. Now, most of the people making those requests were in the District of Columbia, so a huge number of households in that area ended up with free pet goldfish.
Now, what era are we talking about here?
The late 19th century. They started doing this in the 1880s.
Wow, so they started giving away goldfish.
To anyone who would ask. And I think it wasn't considered so strange back then, because at the same time, you could apply to the Commission of Agriculture and get sent free seeds. These government agencies giving stuff away wasn't considered so odd back then.
Yeah, I remember going to birthday parties and getting goldfish in little plastic baggies as gifts. I guess they're quite ubiquitous.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just the fact that they're so easily available, and they're really popular because they're pretty.
Well, but again, you know, what often happens to them is they get flushed down toilets and just enter the real world. What happens then when these little teeny goldfish start working into the ecology?
Well, they don't necessarily stay so teeny. They happen to be able to interbreed with carp. They're a closely related species, and once they're in rivers, they tend to really take over because the ease of breeding, like I said, they breed easily in captivity. They also breed pretty easily in any pond or river, and they will essentially take over an ecosystem, which means that they're considered a dangerously invasive species in many parts of North America where they have pushed out indigenous fish species.
They can eliminate frogs, apparently. They eat tadpoles.
Kind of
muscly, strong species, I guess.
Well, it's just that they multiply in such numbers, and they have a tendency to eat everything. They will essentially vacuum the riverbed clean of food and leave nothing for the other foraging species.
I've seen some evidence of that as a child, I think dropping hamburger into goldfish bowls or something like that. Okay, so now there are states, municipalities working on intervening and eradicating them, even laws about where you can keep your pet goldfish. Really? What are they doing?
Well, I mean, some of these laws aren't just applicable to goldfish. There are many states that are laws about you cannot put any kind of fish in a pond outside because they don't want them, invasive species escaping into the local ecosystem. But a lot of people just aren't aware of these laws because having goldfish in a pond, perhaps at the back of your house, is something people have done for generations.
It's a kind of stunning to admit, but, you know, goldfish do seem like part of the whole American story. I guess maybe it's because of this pervasive giveaway in the late 19th century. But, you know, I'm thinking of that kind of oriental wallpaper and design. What is it about the goldfish that so captivated us?
Well, I think, as you say, trends for Oriental design have come and gone in the last 300 years, and I think goldfish have come along with that. If we think of Japonism of the late 19th century, the popularity of putting in a pond with some water lilies, think of the paintings by Monet, and people would often put decorative carp in those ponds. And I think goldfish were often popular for those same reasons.
Environmental hazards aside, it feels to me like there's something kind of off that we think of them as disposable pets.
It's terribly cruel, isn't it? But the way that they have been marketed has been always something that's, you've given away a prize of a goldfish at a fun fair the same way you might be given a key ring. You know, it's bizarre.
Well,
and we end up with hazing rituals at fraternities of how many can you swallow.
Do they still do that?
I don't know.
It certainly seems like something trapped in a certain era. Well, Katrina, we thank you for bringing us this very odd little segment of history.
Well, thank you for having me, Virginia.
Katrina Gulliver, an historian and author and freelance writer. She'll find a link to her article, The Great Goldfish Invasion, How an Exotic Carp Took Over America, at wordofmouthradio.org.